Let's do it!
Move 101.5 presents...
I love this job.
Kelowna's coolest jobs with David Hansen.
Hello, I'm Laura Luckhurst, and I am an author and illustrator of a children's book. And I also own a distillery with my husband.
So pretty busy then.
I don't sleep much, no.
So let's start with the book then. So do you have like a background in literature? Like how did you get into this?
Not literature, actually. I have a background with art. If something needed a title page, I would spend about 5 minutes on the actual essay and then spend hours on the illustrations. So I've gone to art school. I was in... Where did I go to school? In Vancouver. And I did about a year doing an IDDS program, which is basically just a tester of all the different types of design to kind of get a feeler of what type of design you want to get into. And after doing that for a year, I discovered that I just really loved the psychology behind color. So color theory was my focus. And so I worked with a lot of paints and different things to kind of just paint what you feel and... just kind of developed from there. And then just years went by and I just kind of did it as a hobby and did a bunch of things for friends and stuff like that. But just proceeded to just love art and doodle. But then I discovered my love for comic books, actually, and the style. The stories are awesome as well, but I loved flipping through all sorts of comic books to see just the angles, what forms of shading, polka dots, all those things. And so I actually got into a comic and I started writing my own comic book series years ago. And I did it for about 4 years. It was called Howl's in the Family. And it was basically just a story about the day in the life of crazy stuff that happens to me. And anything that a friend would tell me about, I'd try to incorporate that as well. And just life in a small family and doing all that. So that kind of started up my love of writing because, of course, with comics, it helps to have a story.
Yeah, something in the dialogue bubbles.
Yeah, exactly. And so it really helped me play around with different mediums and things like that. But then it started to just kind of grow to be more like work. It wasn't really fun anymore. And at that point, my daughter was about 4 years old. And she was obsessed with My Little Ponies, as any little girl is, I think. And so for her birthday, I actually wrote her a children's book just for her. And it was My Little Pony themed, so I couldn't publish it simply because I would be sued left, right, and center, I'm sure, yep, for copyright infringement. But I was able to just send it off to Shutterfly, and they printed off an actual book, and it had her in it and her name. And so it was neat to kind of put her into a story format, and she just thought that was the best birthday present ever. She opened this book, and it was real. It wasn't just leaflets or anything like that, and... so that was kind of the start of figuring out what I wanted to do with my art after just doing all this work to kind of figure out what angle is the best and where's my passion. And it really came into children's book writing. So about a year had passed and I'd had it in the back of my head that I really wanted to write a children's book, but I just couldn't find that name, the theme. There was a
like
thousand
the inspiration.
Ideas.
Inspiration.
Exactly. Yeah. And I had so many ideas, but none of them actually worked together. It was like tossing a bunch of boxes of puzzles into a pile and trying to make them all fit. And then one day I was walking with my daughter on a beach in a Soyuz. And she just said, she looked up and she saw the moon during the day. And she goes, "Hey, Mom, how does the moon stay up in the sky like that? Is it a balloon?" And suddenly... just the fireworks and the sparks just started shooting off in my head and like, is the moon a balloon?
You're just like, what did you say?
Oh, I'm like, okay, can you repeat that, please? And of course, and she just goes, yeah, no, is the moon, is it like a balloon? And I went, well, no, actually. And so we started getting into the science behind it. And of course, trying to explain the level of science to a five-year-old is as easy as it sounds, as in not at all.
Yeah.
And I used to work for Boeing, actually, and so I got to meet quite a few people who were associated with those who worked at NASA, and so lots of things about outer space, and so I accidentally went down the rabbit hole of getting into the deep science of why the moon floats in the sky and all this stuff.
So it's not a balloon, though?
It's, well, in my book it is.
Uh-huh.
So
I just want to go straight for the big questions. Is it a balloon?
Yeah, right? Well, and that's actually the fun part about my story. It's basically tells the story of if the moon were a balloon and you were to throw a party with that, and you were to invite all of the planets from our solar system to that party, how many balloons would each planet bring? And so it dips into kind of the fun deep dive of science and exploration, education, and lots of color because the art history
part. That is so neat.
Yeah.
And you know, that makes sense because I remember, you know, when I was a kid, my brothers were kids, we're asking all the big questions. We're fascinated by the things we can't explain, like the planets, dinosaurs. So yeah, I imagine that captures kids' imaginations pretty well then.
It definitely helps. And I somehow was able to make it rhyme. That one.
Wow.
Yeah. That one was actually, there's a good story behind it actually. There's a page about Jupiter. And I was so excited. Jupiter was so many colors and twists and things in it. And I just finished illustrating Jupiter's page when I got a message from my husband saying, did you read the news article that NASA has discovered more moons on Jupiter? And I was so choked because, of course, everything rhymes. And I had to completely rewrite the page of Jupiter because when I wrote it, it only had 80 discovered moons. Mm. And then by the time I had finished the illustration, it had 93.
Come on. So you had to draw more moons.
No, well, that page in particular is just busting at the seams. So
okay.
Fortunately, I didn't have to go too crazy, but it was the rewrite to try to make it flow with the rest of the story that was pretty funny. So NASA, if you're listening, I was really choked that day.
Yeah, you guys have some nerve.
Yeah, right? I had my book ready to go.
First the Pluto thing, now this.
Right? And then, oh, actually, Pluto's in it. That's another thing. And that's kind of a fun fact. I tried to do a bit of a nod to the parents reading their stories, this story to their children, because it is good for kids who are learning sight words and to read it to themselves. But for the youngsters who have their parents read it to them, I tried to kind of incorporate some kind of little fun nods to mom and dad. So, like the page with Pluto's dressed as a hipster because he's too cool to be a planet, or he was an unplanet before everybody else, or whatever it was. That was just kind of the idea behind it. And then there's the page of Uranus, and you're probably just gonna have to buy the book to see what Uranus is doing. And
clever.
Yeah, that was fun. So but it's so you gotta look for the little Easter eggs, but they exist. So
I love that, because wasn't it Frozen 2 that decided to throw in like a 80s style power ballad just for the parents?
I hope so, because that song was amazing.
It was catchy, right?
It was.
You know, it's clever because all these kids shows and kids movies realize that these kids are probably not going to the movie theater alone.
Yeah.
Probably not reading these books all by themselves.
Yeah.
Very clever.
To try to keep it interesting for the parents as well. And it's just, you find Dr. Seuss does that as well, Roald Dahl. I mean, all those stories, there's always something for the adult if the author thinks of that part.
And smart. It's part.
Yeah.
Now, you were talking before about color psychology, which is something I've never really heard about before. So I imagine a lot of that had to go into the book, keeping in mind that kids are going to be reading this. So it's probably very, like, vibrant.
Very vibrant. I was very careful to use the negative space because of the bright colors that I chose. Each planet is so fascinating with all of its colors. And psychology behind color is really fascinating, actually. There's a lot of doctors who use it for in psychology to help figure out how patients feel. And it's the same reason if you go into a museum and you see a painting and something moves you. And with that, it's a lot to do with the color. What people see in red, there's so many different people who come back and say they think of love, they think of sex, they think of anger, hate, and it's all over the map with just one color. And so I was really careful to pick and choose my colors with this book. But of course, Mars is the red planet, and I was really fascinated with Mercury because it almost looks like it has glitter in certain pictures of it. So that was a lot of fun.
Is it also somewhat the psychology of interior decorating? I imagine you maybe specifically pick the colors in your house because you know a little bit about color psychology.
It's one of the reasons, actually, doctor's offices are neutral.
I was wondering about that.
Yeah.
And like hospitals are usually like a beige.
Beige. And I think they're kind of trying to swing away from the beige, and I'm seeing more soft blues. And I feel like it's more that calm. It brings the majority calm. I don't know anybody who thinks of a pale blue and thinks panic.
Yeah, exactly.
Freaking out. So.
Yeah, you know, clear blue sky. Ah.
Yeah, it's like that's no. So they try to dodge the really intense I guess, scary colors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. They're not just, this is morbid, but they're not going to have like bright red on the walls.
Oh, hopefully not.
Probably not.
Less cleanup. No, that's.
Again, morbid. So yes. when you're thinking about writing this children's book, did you also read other children's books just to maybe try to get some inspiration or see how they did it?
Honestly, with my daughter, we have read to her every day of her life. And so I feel like I have probably read every children's book. I don't think I actually have, but it certainly felt that way. But I really looked into the style of every author's format and what they brought to their story. And just, they're so clever. And to be able to speak to children as well is one of the most daunting tasks for some people. Because it was kind of like when my daughter asked me, why is the balloon in the sky? Or why is the moon in the sky? I do that a lot. Of course, I accidentally slipped into the science and the, you know, university level science behind it. And she's looking at me just blank face, like, what are you saying?
Because we're seeing the world in like two completely different lenses, right?
Absolutely. Having gone through all of high school and college and everything, of course, you're going to explain how science works. It just makes sense to us because it's what we've learned. But when you're five, you haven't quite gotten to that yet. So trying to not dumb it down, but age it down and make it so like, hey, what would I understand when I was five? And that was now almost 100,000 years ago for me. So I don't remember what I needed to learn when I was five. So it took a lot of just kind of remembering what words that my daughter really associated with outer space and what words other kids really take in as well. Because I know there's a lot of kids who've really, really enjoyed my book. I've been really fortunate to read it at some local elementary schools. And I've been very lucky to hear that there's some local libraries that have actually picked me up as well. So to have the book out there and accessible for the youngsters when they're in school. And so that's kind of the cool part, to be able to talk to them at their level.
No kidding. Yeah. And, you know, you kind of reminded me almost about my childhood, and I kind of miss how you saw some things with just magic, you know? Like you said, the planets, the stars. It was almost nice that you didn't have all the answers because you just kind of like filled in the gaps in your own head, right?
And it's so cool you say that, actually, just simply because that's art. Like, if you don't know, fill in the gap with color, with paint, with mess. Make your mom yell at you. Like, it's, what did you do to my kitchen? Sorry, Mom.
So, right, and I just remember as a kid, like, being so fascinated. I was a big dinosaur kid. I loved them.
I love that.
Oh, I loved them. And I miss, yeah, like, thinking about them with that, like, you know, wonder. Because I'm even in my head thinking, like, what color were they? What sounds did they make?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I imagine it's kind of difficult to, like you said, kind of put the adult brain behind and try to remember the magic of things.
Exactly. And have planets talk to you. And I hope nobody really pays too close of attention to the seismic difference of each planet. Because, of course, my daughter at one point is actually talking to Mars and they're kind of standing next to each other. It's like, that's normal.
Yeah.
That's what it should be.
Let's
it's
just
magic.
Ignore the scale.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's kind of cool that you almost had like a bit of a, we'll call it a focus group at home with your daughter. Did you kind of go back and forth with her a bit?
She was great. She was, not only was she the inspiration for the book, but she would always kind of peer over my shoulder, kind of be like, oh, what's that guy doing? And she helped me figure out just the stylization of the book. It's very thick lines and easy to see. When you're young, that's what you focus on. I mean, I'm not sure if my parents will be so happy to hear me say this, but I've been watching The Simpsons since I was 3 years old. And I didn't get the jokes. I didn't listen to the, you know, sexual innuendos of any of it, or even the inappropriate language. Homer was bright yellow. Marge has bright blue hair, right? Those types of things. And so to really make it bright, and that gets the kids' attention, and now having it rhyme, suddenly you're going to remember how many moons Mars has. You're going to remember like where, and it doesn't necessarily talk about what order they're in, but it talks about all eight planets and Pluto, and then and each of their moons and all the colors that incorporate. I tried to really have the correct coloring for the moons on most of the planets. Some of them, though, were just all beige, and it's not a hospital, so
yeah, and you want the plant to be the focus.
Exactly. So I tried to turn them into looking somewhat like balloons in some of the pages, and to just really show, like, well, if it's a balloon, there you have it.
I like it.
Yeah.
I should ask about your childhood real quick. Did this help you, by the way, reconnect with your childhood? Maybe remember some of the things that you were enamored with?
Oh, man. It brought back so many memories of just Robert Munch, mainly. That was really the main guy who I would just reach for when I was reading as a kid. Yeah, and anytime you wanted to kind of escape or just be silly or figure out a way to terrorize your siblings, I found kind of just thinking back on those, and the size and the shape of this book reminds me so much of Robert Munch's stories and stuff like that. And then I think, and Dr. Seuss, it was just really fun to kind of explore and re-explore all of those stories all over again and just kind of get that feel. And then going into things like Roald Dahl, like the chapter book level, and having so much color in your story without the images really helps kind of his expressions and the usage of certain words. And so I really tried to throw in color in my words as well to kind of just grasp your attention. And that was the books that just devour your day. You look up and it's dinner time. You go, whoops, where'd the sun go?
Yeah.
So yeah.
At any point, were you a little tempted to use ChatGPT for some of the rhymes?
Not ever, actually. I'm very old-fashioned. I only just learned about ChatGPT about 4 months ago, and it terrifies me.
Yeah, no, same.
It's wild just to see the imagery that comes out of the other formats of it. But no, this one was actually funny story. I knew the name of the book before I wrote the story, because that was, of course, my inspiration. And I was sitting in White Spot in Penticton by myself. I was there for a quick, I think I had to buy something for my daughter's birthday. And I was just sitting there and there was nobody else around. I'm sitting in this restaurant by myself and it just came to me. I grabbed my phone and I wrote probably 85% of my book in the booth.
Wow.
At White Spot. So
having a good day there.
Yeah. It just like suddenly, it's just like the dam burst. I don't know what hit me. Was it my Eggs Benny? I'm not sure, but probably my third cup of coffee that day didn't hurt.
Yeah.
But otherwise, though, it was weird. How is the moon a balloon? What am I going to do with this? Where do I go? And then boom, it's just there. And that's the thing. I'm now at that stage with my second book, and I know what I want to call it, and the gears are spinning, and it's going to come. I can feel it. It's just when. So I think I'd have to go back to White Spot.
Yeah, no kidding.
So, yeah.
Would you say that this has also helped you maybe connect with other authors, since you now understand the process a bit and you understand like trying to get in your readers' heads?
Major respect. Anytime I crack a new book, if I go to Indigo and go into the children's section, it just says new authors or anything like that, and just see where were they going with this? How did you come to this here now? Like this book, there's a handful of books. Actually, I was in this bookstore with my daughter just the other day, and it was shocking just kind of how to crack open a book and just see like, what started you here? Did you know the title first? Did you know the story first? What inspired you to make it a little boy or a little girl, or use animals and your color choices? And so it really, the short answer to your question is yes. It really makes me respect all of the authors that do everything. It's wild.
And what was the publishing process like? How does that work?
That is an excellent question. Publishing is so much harder than it sounds. For my book, for instance, it's actually self-published through Amazon right now. If anybody knows a publisher out there that would like to give me a call, please do so. As far as the whole process itself, Amazon made it very easy to do so. But it was a challenge because I knew nothing about what I was doing. I had the story. I wrote it all on my iPad. And so I had the formats figured out. I basically just went onto Amazon and lots of YouTube tutorials. That was the major
answer. I swear you can learn anything on YouTube.
Everything. Yeah. It's pretty wild. So the process itself, it's not as time consuming as you might think. It took me about 6 solid months to write and illustrate the book. And then to get it all out there, it was probably another 3 months before it was ready to be fully published. And so it was a really exciting time.
Random question here, but do you have stacks of your books at home, or do you kind of print them as they're ordered?
So they are printed as they're ordered if you order them on Amazon, which is where you can get my book. But I do order extras, so I have copies on me for if I'm speaking to somebody, or there's also actually bookstores that carry my book right now. But you can actually find my book at Mosaic Books, just next door here.
Perfect.
And you'll also be able to find it at Studio on the Water, the art gallery that's on Water Street. So they're really great there too. So it's pretty cool. So it's kind of all over the place, to answer your question. You can get it online, or you can get it in person, or just from me, because I pretty much always
like your
have
business cards. Card now, right?
Pretty much. Yeah, no, I don't have business cards for my book. It's like, oh, look, here's this book. It was just randomly in my back pocket, even though it's 10 by 10.
Right. Yeah, I'm actually holding one right now. Were you surprised with how well it performed?
I was. I was incredibly excited, surprised. I couldn't even explain. It felt like Christmas morning times 10. When I woke up the next day after first publishing it, it was actually second place to Taylor Swift's Little Golden Book.
Wow.
And I think that's the closest I'll ever be to Taylor Swift. That was super cool. I didn't get the screenshot in time, though. I only have the photo of the third place spot, which is still really cool.
Heck yes.
But no, to actually be on that list and see something that I created, and it was so real, and it was just the most incredible feeling in the world to have something that went from my daughter asking a simple question to being a book. And the feedback from it too. People who have read it, who know me or don't know me, they've been in touch on Facebook or Instagram, and they just go like, "Wow, this was really cool." And it's like, "Oh." And it's weird. You don't think you necessarily need validation when you're able to get published and get your stuff out there, but it's so great to the fans are everything. And the support of all the kids. Oh, I do owe every parent in my daughter's school an apology.
Why?
Because I went to read in her class a couple of months ago, and apparently my daughter's whole class went home to their parents and said, "Why haven't you written a book with me in it? Like, don't you love me?" And so I had parents approach me afterwards like, "Thanks." I'm like, "I'm sorry."
Just giving you the like side eye.
Well, and there was so, but even the, everybody's just been so supportive of the whole thing, but it was just such a funny thing. Like, oh, you're the mom.
Must be nice that your mom loves you that much.
It's exactly. it was so funny, but everybody's just, I've made such incredible friends with the book, and it's just been this whole experience that I was not expecting, because this was a side job. This was, other things were kind of going on in my life, but it was also a really fun escape.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Now, did it chart that well organically? Did you market it?
Oh, market. Mainly social media. And I like to make friends with strangers, too. I went to Cactus Club when my book first released, and I had a big stack of my books, and I was all excited, and I was getting it all ready. And my server, she came up to me, and she's like, "Oh, are you a book salesperson?" I'm like, "Kinda," for this one book. So we got to chatting and whatnot, and by the end of it, I gave her a signed copy, and it was just so cool to kind of just talk to people about it, and it's neat to hear all the questions that are asked, and some of them surprise me, but they're good questions, all of them very educational.
Surprise you? Like, what do you mean?
Just kind of out of the blue, just like, why did you give Mars feet?
Oh, I see. Just like style choices, just, like, why this color?
Exactly, yeah, but it's not something I would expect. It would more just be like, oh, was it fun? It's like, you're not expecting some of the questions you get.
I love the feet question. It's like, so he can walk, duh.
Yeah, it's, you know, but it's because of the balloons or moons.
And has this inspired you to maybe continue this further? Possibly make more books?
Absolutely. I'm not sure if I'm going to make this one a series. It kind of tells its own story.
Mm-hmm.
But I do have a second book. Actually, I have about 5 books floating around in my head right now. But the next one to come it's pretty cast in stone that's going to be the next book. So it's just a matter of how long is it going to take me to actually get that spark to fly.
Well, if it's all the same to you, if I'm ever invited back to another school to do like the Readin' Week thing where they just ask radio hosts to read to students, I'd love to take your book if that's all the same to you.
I would love that. That would
Heck
be
yes.
Awesome. No, please do. It's thrilling. And if anybody ever wants to see what else I'm up to, I try to post quite frequently on Instagram. You can find me at Laura Luckhurst Books. And I'm also on Facebook too, but I don't know why Instagram is just the one I open first, but it shares to everything. So it's kind of all those.
Well, it's a visual medium.
Exactly.
And it's a visual book.
And that's what I do. Yeah, that's part of the living.
I know you've mentioned your social media a couple times. Can you remind us once again of your different, Instagram pages?
It would be Yeah, we're kind of all over the place. So with my book, it's at Laura Luckhurst Books. So my full name with books behind it. I'm also on Facebook with that one. Now with our distillery, it's at Luckhurst Farm. And so that's LUCKHURST Farm. And we are on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok. I finally figured out TikTok.
Well done.
I know, I got off my ass and I figured it out. Next
you
is YouTube. That's this week.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, thanks. I need that.
All right, so pick up your copy of Is the Moon a Balloon? Go visit Luckhurst Farms.
Yeah, and okay. Then honestly, come by. You'll see when you drive up to our property, there is a note on the gate right now. So if we're not open, that note will be up there. But if the gate's open, come on up and, you know, come ring the doorbell and meet my crazy dog and have a coffee. So
heck yes. Laura Luckhurst, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you so much for having me, David.
Wow, cool.
Do you have one of Kelowna's coolest jobs? Head to move1015.ca for a chance to be featured.